Right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we just want to thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom and courage, Lord, to be faithful to you, Lord, that we might be found worthy servants of thee, O Lord. And God, that we might bring you glory in all that we do and say, in Jesus' name, amen. All right. I want to read this morning just a little bit in John. John chapter 8, verse 33. Just a little bit of continuation. Same theme anyway, I guess, as last week. This is a confrontation between the Pharisees and Jesus. And it was a confrontation. When you read or you hear things, oh, Christians, they don't ever argue about anything. Well, that's just not right. Christians do stand for what they believe, just like Christ did. And when you stand for what you believe, someone else is going to confront you on it because it scares them or it challenges their authority. And there's going to be a confrontation that comes out of that unless one gives. Just want to read here, verse 33. Well, I'm going to have to start a little sooner than that. Well, we'll begin at 30. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. These people were talking about being servants, but they had the idea that they were servants to Rome. And they wouldn't admit that. They wouldn't even receive that. Jesus was talking about being servants to sin. He was talking about setting them free from sin, and they were trying to argue about being set free from Rome. Jesus said, if ye continue in my word, ye shall be my disciples indeed. A disciple is one who hears the words of Jesus and follows them. And if we hear those words and continue in them, we will be his disciples indeed. How many people are trusting in theology that Jesus died for them, thinking that they're going to be saved? People are believing in what Jesus did. We believe Jesus. I don't know how many times, over and over again, we quote the words of Jesus where he says that unless you continue in my words, or unless you hear my words and do them, you will not be saved. And they join jump quickly to some verse in Galatians or Romans and start quoting a Bible verse that says that you can't obey God, that you're just a sinner, and the only hope you have is just to believe that Jesus died. And yet, and ignore the words of Jesus himself. Who believes in Jesus? Someone that believes what he did? Or someone who believes what he said? Jesus had this same conflict. Jesus said in verse 34 again, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Where does your mind go whenever you hear that? Does it completely disregard that and go look for a verse somewhere that says, we can't help ourselves? We're all sinners? Does it think of Romans chapter 7, where Paul was struggling and says, what I could do, I don't do. What I want to do, I don't do. Just in a helpless state? No. Where does your mind go? Or does it go, wow, Jesus said if a man's still in bondage to sin, he's the servant of sin. I better correct that. Or does our mind say, oh, there's no way I can correct that. Jesus just said that to prove that I can't do it. What is the use of trying to teach anyone anything if they can't do it? What good does it do to prove to you that you are an absolute failure, and the only way you're going to bring glory to anyone is to just keep admitting, I'm a failure, I'm a failure, I'm a loser, I'm a failure, I'm a loser. Is that what God created? Did God just create you to be a loser? Did God just create you to be a failure? A sin is only a sin if you're responsible for it. And you're capable of not doing it. That's what a sin is. A sin is something that you can do that you do not do. A sin is something that you should not do that you choose to do. Otherwise, it's not a sin. It's just part of who you are. If it's just part of who you are, then you are who you are. And it's not a sin for you to act sinful. But if sin is a sin and a choice that you have to make, you can choose not to do it. But when you choose to do it, it is a sin and you will be responsible for it. That's what makes it a sin, a transgression. When you break a law, oh, that's just my nature, that's the way I am, that's right. And that shows whose nature you are, and it's not of God's. If it wasn't a sin, then it don't matter. God's being a tyrant to call it a sin if it's not a sin. God is being like the man that made their yoke harder. He tried to put on something harder than what they were capable of doing. Who's doing the sinning with that? It's God. If God is trying to make you do something that you cannot do, and He knows you can't do it, He is the bully. He is the bad guy. Is God the bully? Is God the bad guy? No. God's not going to make you do something that He knows you cannot do. Would you beat your 8-year-old child because he couldn't do a man's job all day long? And then at the end of the day, don't give him supper and beat him again because he didn't accomplish what a man could do? Would he? Would you? What would happen to a man that took his 8-year-old child out and tried to make him do a man's work? And then when he couldn't do it, beat him all day long. And then in the evening, refused to feed him and beat him again. That's cruelty. That's horrible. But that's the image people have of God today. That's the image that God is portrayed in today. So much so that if you come along and say, wait a minute, I can obey God. then everyone points their finger at you and say, you're proud. You're boasting. Oh, God's going to smite you. You proud thing. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Who's Jesus' image on? A loser? Or a follower? We are in this world. This world is the world of losers. This world is the world of Satan. This world is the world of people who are following their nature just to live in sin. It's just as natural for a man in this world just to flow with that sinful nature as a stick to flow right downstream and go right along with the nature of this kingdom. The nature of this kingdom is rebellion against God. The nature of the kingdom of this world is to disobey and rebel against God. It's natural. It's who you are. And to say that you are no longer a part of this world, I'm going to be a part of the kingdom of God, and I'm going to obey God, causes a reaction. Who are you? Sit down. Shut up. I don't want to hear that. I'm content to be a loser and flow right on down the creek. What are you trying to do swimming upstream? Stop it. You can't do that. You're just supposed to float right into hell and pretend like you're going to heaven. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, verse 34, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. You seek to kill me. You hate me. Because my words have no place in you. Oh yeah, you've got promises you could pick out. But you're not hearing what I'm saying. You're not hearing my words. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. It's just natural. You're following your father, the devil, to be your own person. Just to flow along with whatever society accepts. and just to float right along. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. If ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus saith unto him, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I by myself, but he that sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Why can't you understand what I'm saying? Even because you cannot hear my words. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Why doesn't the world understand what we're trying to say? Why do they look at us and say, oh, you proud Pharisees? Is it because we're boasting about obeying? Is it because we're saying, look at me, I'm perfect. Look at me, I've got it all figured out. No. It's because we've simply stood up and said, I can obey, and I'm going to choose to obey. And I'm going to walk in this path. I'm going to go against the tide. I'm going to cross that river. I'm going to fight those Philistines. I'm going to declare war on the giant. I am going to follow Jesus. And you can stand in the way and you can wave your arms and you can tell everyone that I'm proud. That's not what motivates me. I'm rejecting this world and this kingdom and this loser. Woe is me. They're too big for us. Garbage. The Bible calls that faithlessness. Men today think they have great faith because they can say, I'm a loser. Oh, what faith I have because I can say, I'm a worthless sinner. Faith hears what God wants them to do and says, I'll do it. Faithlessness says, oh, look at the pride there. Look at the pride. There's two kingdoms. If you want to be a part of the kingdom that's just natural for man, you're in it. Don't do a thing. Say a little prayer. Say, I accept Jesus into my heart. and float right to hell. But if you want out of this world, there's only one way out. Follow the path of Jesus. It'll lead us out of this world. It's not about being, oh, I was saved, now I sin, now I'm not saved. Or I was saved, now I can never be lost. Delivered from the power of Satan so that I can escape this dungeon, this kingdom, this enemy line that I'm behind. So that it's like a man that's in a war and he gets shot down over the enemy's line and he gets put in prison. He's bound there deep in the enemy territory, way behind the enemy's border or the enemy's line, and he's in a prison somewhere and he's sitting in that dark prison in a foreign place with a cruel bunch of people mocking him, jeering him, torturing him. And then someone comes along and sets him free. Someone comes along and unlocks the chains that have his feet and his hands bound. And they open the door and he gets out of that door. He's been saved from that prison. But wait a minute. He's still miles and miles and miles into the enemy's country. And the enemy has soldiers all around. And he has to escape. He's got to get home. He's got to get home now. Sure, he's not sitting in the prison anymore. But he didn't get out of prison just to go jump in with the crowd that had him in bondage. He didn't get let out of prison to join in the society of the world that had him in bondage, in society with the world's enemy. With his enemies. He didn't get set out of prison to join the kingdom of his enemy. No. He was set out of prison with a hope that he could get out of the enemy's kingdom and get home to his own kingdom where he belongs. God set us free so that we can rise up and get out of this world. That we could return home. We could return to the God who created us. And as we get out of prison, we start looking around. Well, which way is home? This is a foreign place. And everyone around says, oh, don't worry. You're just a part of us now. You're just still in bondage, really. So you just as well make yourself at home here. No, no. I don't want to be home here. My home is not here. This is the enemy's world. And I don't want it. I don't want to stay here. Well, the enemy has a claim on you. No, he don't. My king set me free. I don't belong to the enemy anymore. And I'm going to get out of this place. Oh, no one can get out of this place. No one can get out of here. Who do you think you are to think that you can get out of here? Nobody does. Oh, I tried that a few years ago, and I realized I couldn't do it, so now I'll just be a loser in Loserville, staying right here, bound in this society, just like everybody else. But I'm going to go to church. I'm going to be a good person in this society. I'm going to be a really good guy in this society and be a loser. I can find words in your book that says it's all right for me to stay here and that somebody will come and get me. They promised they would. Those promises aren't to someone who dwells in Loserville. Those promises are to those who get up and say, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going home. And if we abide in these words, and if we follow these words that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you will follow these words will guide you out of the enemy's kingdom. The king has got soldiers all around watching you. There's a safe path. There's a safe passage that'll get you out of this kingdom. And Satan's kingdom has guards and soldiers on both sides of that path. And if you step off of that path, Satan comes along and says, huh? You're getting close to being mine. You're getting close to being mine. I'm going to have you back in that prison. But then you recognize, wait a minute, I'm off that path. And you get back on it. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. Don't look at salvation like a theological thing. Salvation is being delivered from the prison. And now we're still in this world. Sin, to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, is servants you are. If I yield myself to sin, Satan gets a claim on my life. If I yield myself to righteousness, God gets the claim on my life. God has a path reserved, an underground railway. Remember during the slave times, they had a railway that you'd, sometimes it was through tunnels, or sometimes it was a path, but they had a road that would lead to freedom. They'd have to go to a certain house in the middle of the night and have a secret knock, and they'd let them in. They'd take them in and they'd hide them, and they could stay there for a while and they could eat for a while. And then they would say, okay, now the next step, you have to go to the next little town. And you come to another little house, and it's a little white house there. And you knock on that door twice. And you go in there, and they'll guide you to the next house. And you follow this path of houses, or this path of safe places. And they help you escape all of the enemies that are around about you, trying to drag you back home to be a slave again. And as long as you follow that path, there's a safety in that. It's the King's path. That's what salvation is. We're in the enemy territory, and God has laid out a path. And if we step off of that path or we lose our way, we're in danger of being snared again. But as long as we're faithful on that path, there's a protection there. John chapter 2, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. These things write I unto you to prove that you cannot do them. These things write I unto you to show you that you're a big loser and you cannot obey God, and that your only hope is to trust that someone will just come and just take you away. No. These things I write unto you that you do not sin. I've written this so you won't sin, so that you won't get lost, so that you won't get off of the path. There's an accuser of the brethren. People like to portray God as the accuser. That if you get off his path, he's just waiting to beat you into nothing. That is not God. The accuser is the devil. So that you're walking along the path and you step off the path, the accuser comes along and says, "Aha! He's on my territory." These things I write unto you that you sin not, that you don't get off into that territory. And if any man sin, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We have an advocate with the Father. We have a lawyer with the Father. We have someone that stands between the Father and us and says, "I died for them. Don't hit them. Don't destroy them." Is that what he's doing? Or do we have an advocate that is with the Father, standing against the accuser? The accuser's saying, "He's off the path. He stepped off the path back there. He's mine. He's going back to my prison." He missed the last turn to get to the right house. We have an advocate. We have someone that comes along that rides the King's highway. And if we get lost, he'll help us. If we take a wrong turn, there's also someone looking for us to help us get back on the right path to escape. Who is that? That's Jesus. He's with the Father's kingdom. And he's, when we step off the path, he steps in and says, "He's still mine. Yeah, he fell off, but he's back on this now. We found him. He's back on. And the devil is accusing, trying to say, no, he's mine. This is the danger of sin. It's not God you need to worry about with sin. We're in the devil's kingdom. And when you yield to sin, you're yielding to the devil. And the devil lays hold, and he says to God, he's mine. He's mine. And when God judges Satan, all of those who are Satan's are going to receive Satan's judgment. And all those who are God's are going to receive Christ's judgment. And the only way we know whose is whose is who do we obey? The kingdom of this world says, this is the way we are. This is my kingdom. But those who come out of it and say, I'm not going to stay here. I don't belong here. God is higher than this. God is much better than this. I'm going to go home. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus Christ the righteous is our advocate. If we step off the path. Not when I step off the path. Not because I'm just going to sit here and just say and lay down and say, I'm just off the path, and there's no way I can move. If I do, I'll be proud. If I do, I'll be boasting. No, no, no. Have faith in God. What did they do whenever David said, I'll fight that giant? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Look who was helping him. Did his brothers come along and say, yeah, there's a man of faith. Let's go get him. No, they said, you little punk, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Go home and take care of those few sheep. That's all you are. You're just a little shepherd. You're making some big boast. You can't whip that giant. Stand here and tremble like us. Stand here and tremble like us. We have faith. We can't whip him. You proud, boastful little punk. Go home. I say rise up. If someone wants to take on the giant, get behind them instead of being against them. Oh, you're proud. You're boastful. No, my God is great and we can overcome him. Your God may be a loser, mine isn't. I can do all things through God who strengtheneth me. I can rise up. Oh, it's all you. It's all you. No. It's me and God. But if I don't rise up, and if I don't say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's claiming to have all power over all things? If I don't rise up against him, I have no help from God. I'm just part of the faithless throng of Loserville. He that is the propitiation for your sins. He's the one that delivers us. He's the one that set us out of the prison in the first place so that we could be given the opportunity to get on that road that's going to get us out of this world. And if we continue on that road, we can get to heaven. We can get home and be fully accepted by God when we get there. Because the blood that he shed will have cleansed us from all this filthiness from Loserville. The blood that he shed has set us free from the prisons of bondage and gave us the power to have faith like a man of God, not like a little pipsqueak that's just waiting to be eaten. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Oh, you're boasting. No, we know that we know him because we hear him. And we do his will. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Is that hard for anyone here to understand? If you keep his commandments, we know him because we hear his voice. We hear his voice and we obey it. Oh, you're proud. Boy, that takes pride. No, that takes faith to rise up and hear his voice, to rise up from you dead. From rise up from you sticks that are floating down the creek and to turn around and swim upstream. We hear his words and we know that we're following him because we're hearing what he's told us and we're following the path that he's given us to take that will lead us to life. But if I say that I know him, and I don't obey him, and I don't live to follow him, I'm a liar. and the truth is not in me. Jesus talked in this discussion he was having, this argument with the Pharisees. And he said, if I agree that I'm a sinner, I'll be a liar just like you. You're trying to make me agree with you. And if I do that, that'll make me a liar. I was a sinner. I was bound in your prison. But now I'm not. I've got the King's image on me now. I'm a saint. Whoa. You're proud. No, I've just changed kings. And what I'm doing is just normal and just natural for my king. You're doing what's natural for your kingdom. I'm just doing what's natural for God's kingdom. But you hate it. But you hate it. Because it's not natural to your kingdom. And so it just looks like I've stood up against your kingdom. My pride is against your kingdom. I'm just doing what's natural to do for my king. And it's just natural that I obey my king. Because I'm of a new kingdom. That's what being born again is about. Being born of the Spirit of God. Having a new nature. That it's just natural for me to obey my king. And if I say I'm still of the old nature, well, I'd be a liar just like everyone else that's in that part of the world, in that other kingdom. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. You're not saying you could be like Jesus. Yes, I am. And if you have the nature of Jesus, you're going to be, just naturally, with a heart to walk like he walked. And sin is doing something unnatural. For the world, sin is natural. But for God's kingdom, it's unnatural. Hereby we know that we are in him when it's just natural for us to obey him. No one's forcing me to obey God. I want to. It's a nature that he's given to me because I chose to follow him. And I began to obey him. And I began to listen to him. And he changed my nature. May the Lord help us to see clearly that it's not something that we can put in a box. Help us to see clearly that we're in the devil's world and God has provided us a path that if we will follow it, that it will lead us to home. Out of this kingdom. Out of this kingdom of darkness. Into the kingdom of light. Get in that path. Whatever your struggle is, lay it behind you. Don't give the devil the opportunity to say that he's mine. Don't let anyone say that you cannot overcome. You can. May the Lord add his blessings to his words. Father, guide us out of this kingdom of darkness. Help us not to turn aside. Help us be faithful. Give us wisdom. Give us courage to walk in your path. In Jesus' name. Amen. Does anyone have anything? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Foolishness of preaching is amen. They wouldn't have understood it anyway.